June, thank you so much for joining the program today.
Good morning, Kirsten, and thank you. Good morning, listeners.
Well, first of all, congratulations on your appointment with the Human Rights Commission. And, yeah, it's lovely to finally speak to you, and we look forward to hearing more from you down the track. So you're in Melbourne today to speak about children and racism at the annual Caston Centre Human Rights Conference in Melbourne. Can you share with our audience a brief on your presentation today?
Yeah, well, today I had the opportunity of delivering this talk, and it was on a range of focuses, a number of different threads, but primarily around structural racism and how that impacts the very daily lived realities of people, whether we're in regional and remote settings or we're in the cities, how that impacts us, and that impacts opportunities and how we make decisions around what is possible in our lives.
Okay, and so was there any response, like as far as, you know, the focus of your presentation, what do you want to see come from this?
Well, I think we need to share that this reality does exist for many people, many Indigenous peoples in this country, and that when we're talking about structural change, we need people to understand exactly where we're coming from and why it is that we're advocating for these changes. These changes may be of a national nature that really impacts people on the ground. And, you know, you often hear comments like, if people are talking about big changes at a national level, how does that make a difference for people on the ground, for the children playing in the dirt, or you know, however some of these comments are framed around us? Well, they do impact. These changes at a national level do make a difference at a local level. And coming from a community, coming from working as a community and social development worker, changes of policies at a national level do make or break people at the very community and ground level.
Yeah, so there's been more allegations of racial and sexual abuse of young people in detention, not only recently in Canberra, but also in this last week around Banksia Hill. So obviously there is a national crisis on the way children are being treated physically, racially, sexually, emotionally. Obviously that would be a key focus for you, wouldn't it?
It is, and it is totally unacceptable, and it needs to be called out. It needs to be exposed. And the perpetrators of these violations against children, when they're in these rehabilitative centres, need to be identified and be removed from their roles of coming into contact and working with children. They're totally, in my mind, you know, people that should not be anywhere near children if this is how they seek to treat children.
Yeah, so we're in a process now. I know this is sort of a bit more forward down the track where they're going to be ratifying the optional protocol to the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. So there has been a call from Amnesty International on a federal monitoring system, but there seems to be a bit of a wait for that to be ratified. So how are you feeling at the moment with, you know, having to wait for that and seeing what's happening around Australia?
Well, this is happening, and it's great that it's happening in terms of the rationalisation of the of OPCAT. But I think there are steps we can take right now around exposing and bringing the focus and the attention of these instances of the mistreatment of children. We don't need to wait until the protocol is rationalised or ratified. We can do stuff right now.
Yeah, so at the moment, obviously you're working within the framework on the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Now, the Australian government has put in a bid for a seat in the UN. Would you like to see a better model of legislation that works more closely with that United Nations Declaration?
Well, I think it is the opinion of many across our communities that we do want to see where it is that the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples have been responded to, are being implemented, and I think there's great interest from many within Australia and in the UN space that we do want to see where these implementations and responses have been made.
Mm-hmm. And I know I'm putting you on the spot today, so I'll move forward for talking to you about your response or how you're feeling about the final recommendations of the report from the Uluru Statement of the Heart and the recommendations from the Referendum Council.
Yes, look, I do want to acknowledge the Referendum Council and the work that they had undertaken for 18 months to provide advice to the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition on options for constitutional reform. They had conducted 6 months' worth of consultations across the country with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and to get feedback on this issue. We understand that there have been 12 dialogues, and with the culmination of the gathering at Uluru in May this year, I was present at that gathering, and there were, you know, over 250 delegates attending who had input into crafting the Uluru Statement from the Heart and calling for clear proposals for reform and the need for a constitutionally enshrined Indigenous voice to Parliament and the need for an agreement-making process via Makarrata Commission and the need for truth-telling in this country. So truth, voice and treaty were key points of the discussion and deliberations of the RIF Council's gathering. I understand also that the Referendum Council were informed of the findings of the expert panel and the report of the Parliamentary Joint Select Committee on Constitutional Recognition, and that they considered all of these options to arrive at the recommendations that they had agreed to put forward in their final report. So the work begins now around the conversations with the critical stakeholders who are part of this process. Remember, we have Uphold and Recognise, we have the Reconciliation Australia, we have the group of 29 who were selected at Uluru, who were identified to manage a process going forward. So we need to engage these critical stakeholders around how we move this process forward, what it is that we're all doing, how can we be collaborative and supportive of each other moving this whole question forward.
I just want to ask you sort of a final question on that. So the four proposals that were originally put forward by the expert panel and the Joint Select Committee on amending the race, power and racial discrimination, they're not included in this proposal now. So do you think that the way forward is having an entrenched advisory body that's in the Constitution? There needs to obviously be a referendum for that, for people to get in and be working in with Parliament and the Prime Minister and Cabinet so that those changes can be made down the road on the race powers and other amendments on the racial discrimination. Do you think that's something that's still in sight for people? I mean,
I think there's many layers of issues that need to be considered and worked through and clarified. Yep. And that's a question for not just Indigenous people in this country, but for the 97% to be informed so that we together as a nation can work together to get the best outcome.
Yep. Well, I'm going to leave it at that. June Oscar, thank you so much for joining NITV Radio. We appreciate what your time today. Is there anything else from this conference that you've been to today that you got from it, or anything that's happening in the conference today that's also striking something for you?
Oh, look, the lineup of speakers and the topics and the information that they had shared in the conference was fantastic. Bringing some of the international speakers in to this space and the sharing of histories and understandings and ways of working forward on some of these fundamental human rights issues has been, a great occasion to be able to be at, to reconnect with people who are working at the Caston Human Rights Centre, and to see Nelly and Melissa.
Yeah.
And remember the great Ron Caston QC.
Yeah, lovely. I think it's good. It's that connection is so important, isn't it, for people to join together, particularly with the issues being such on an international level, but also locally here as well. So you make those connections and can work together in the future.
Absolutely.
Lovely.
Thank
well,
you.
June Oscar, AO, thank you so much for joining NITV Radio. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.